E1.
Number 6A.
All right, then we come to a third key idea, and that is what he calls the idea of self-regulation. This is the cybernetic idea, namely the self-regulation of being. Actually, you can see that the moment something translates itself and transforms itself, you have a change. And every change indicates that the stability of a system is in danger, that it could get out of gear, so to say, and become unstable, that the homeostasis of the system is in danger. And so the cybernetic idea in being is that which self-regulates that transformation so that the stability of the system is kept intact. This naturally is the biggest thing of the most recent years, that through the science of cybernetics, one has found out that in being there is that self-organizing and therefore self-steering and self-regulating law with its positive feedback and with its negative feedback, all helping to keep the stability of the system intact. Again, what I said before, we are faced with a future. We know that tomorrow will be different than today. We hope that new ideas come into our life, new opportunities come into our lives, and therefore to see that though new opportunities will arise, though changes will occur, that these changes need not to be feared. That if we know the whole structure of being, that then we can be quite sure that the restructuring of that being can go on in a self-organizing way so that harmony leads to harmony, and out of harmony, new harmony arises, and a higher sense of purpose of life arises, and that we don't need to fear really any change. But that is because built into the science of being is a divine cybernetic system. That divine cybernetic system, as we see, will be mainly characterized through those four sides of the holy city, which shows that the input of the Word of God has an eternal process of the Christ, which has a positive output as Christianity, and fourth side, a science regulating the output and the input so that a constant self-regulating change can be secured. So this is really a great sense what we touch here, and we will fall back on those three points over and over and over. So we just remember what we are engaged in is first in structuralism, that we always think from the whole, the idea of wholeness. Second, that the whole, like the one principle, is constantly transforming and translating itself to infinite ideas of the whole. That's the second, the law of transformation. And third, that in that translation, no sense of harmony gets lost, but that the stability of harmony is kept intact through the process of self-regulation. We use so often nowadays the English term that was taken over from the German language of Gestalt. You have on the next definition. The American Heritage Dictionary defines Gestalt as a unified physical, psychological, or symbolic configuration. We will have mainly to do with the symbolic configuration. Therefore, it's a unified symbolic configuration having properties that cannot be derived from its parts. Can you see now that here through the Gestalt idea, through the Gestalt concept, we begin to see that we can never reach the infinite by adding the parts. That the infinite, the nature of the infinite, can never be demonstrated and experienced if we go out from its parts, because it's not derivable from its parts. But the other way around, that the whole Gestalt is a configuration which really impresses its characteristics on every part. Just the way as we have seen with Mozart or Beethoven, the whole Gestalt of a Beethoven music is being seen in every part of it. But no matter how many parts we put together or accumulate, it never becomes a whole. This concept of Gestalt has a great meaning in cybernetics. That's why I have another definition from the Encyclopedia of Cybernetics, where it shows that the basic idea is that the parts of a shape only have meaning by the fact that they belong to a whole. Can you see that only then has a part of meaning when we see it as part of a whole? Just as we had it in music, that only in this way we can see if it is Beethoven or Mozartian or anything like that. So again I read, the basic idea is that the parts of a shape only have meaning by the fact that they belong to a whole. That is, a shape cannot be split up into its elements without losing the meaning which it possessed as a whole. Can you see, or just go on, a form is more than the sum total of its elements. Again, you have that synergetic idea that the whole is more than the sum total of its elements. That whole has Gestalt. Actually, the encyclopedia goes further. I haven't printed it here, but I read it because it's quite interesting, because it takes it here and says, consequently, the concept form in the sense of an integrated whole contradicts the old-fashioned interpretation according to which perception was a mosaic-like combination of isolated sensations. Can you see, the old-fashioned concept of trying to accumulate knowledge, to accumulate facts, to put facts upon facts, is an old-fashioned concept. It's a mosaic-like picture of putting things together. A tune is more than the notes of which it consists. A tune is more than the notes of which it consists. It continues even if one transposes all its tones. See that? That's what we see, that's what I see in the Bible and the textbook. That the Bible and textbook show us the Gestalt of being. And though we can transpose a message from one language into the other, it never loses its melody. It never loses its Gestalt. Therefore, the symbolization doesn't matter. What matters is that the melody, that is the tone, or the problematics of a chapter in the textbook or a book in the Bible is important, and though we can transpose that into other forms, the melody is not lost. So if you take even Bach, classical Bach, you can transpose it into jazz, and you still can recognize it's Bach. Can you see now what structuralism and Gestalt really means? That Gestalt is the whole configuration, the whole structure. And you can take the whole structure and translate it in many, many ways, the moment we know the rules of transformation. And out of that transformation, we always get a new representation of the whole. A jazz Bach is something else than a classical Bach. And yet it's Bach. Now, in the same way, we really see that once we have found the fundamental system of being, of the divine being, once we have found the fundamental system of being, like the chart, and if we know the laws of transformation, just as we transform Bach into jazz Bach, we know the laws of transformation, we still can see that one being, but every time it appears to us in a different way, in a different mode, but still recognizable and still being the very thing that it ever was, namely being, the signs of being. And this is why from the infinite one in Christian Science comes one infinite principle and its infinite ideas. There is not just one principle. The one becomes infinite. This transformation must be seen, that the one just doesn't need to be just one expression of the one, but that the one has infinite ideas of the one. And that is only possible through that Christ transformation which Mrs. Eddy has explained. And by doing that, we can see how each synonymous term, for instance, is translated and translated and translated according to the necessities of a situation into completely different, multivarious expressions of that one synonymous term. Yes, that's the great idea of structure and structuralism. The next definition you have, we leave at the moment. We need them at the end of this week, and perhaps you keep those notes so that when we fall back on those, that we have it at hand. So let's recapitulate quickly before we go over to the science of being, what really structure and structuralism implies. We can see that structure relies on relationships, on the sum total of relationships, not on parts, not on isolated ideas, isolated facts. Therefore, you can see we need a completely different approach within our consciousness, than, namely, that we begin to think in relationships and no more in substances. This naturally is a terrific change, quite a different paradigm, a different method of approaching a subject. Further, we can see that structure implies an ordering principle, that these relationships are an ordering principle, just as we have done with this story of that secretary that came home. We did nothing else but put an ordering principle into that story. We didn't add anything to the story. We didn't take away anything from the story. In structure, the whole is under consideration and not its parts. So that the parts really lose their own meaning as something per se, and the structural arrangement really becomes dominant. So that we can see that through structure each part receives the meaningful purpose from the whole. Furthermore, we can see that structuralism is an immaterial principle, has no matter. We have seen up to that point, we thought that we can really get hold of the universe just through those two big constituents, namely energy and matter. And now they found out, no, there is even a higher hierarchy, namely organization or entropy. Negative entropy, neg entropy as it's usually called. It's an immaterial principle. Suddenly that gives sense to the universe. So we are from this time on looking away from things, from substances, and look into immaterial structures. Or as Bucky Fuller says, structure is weightless. It has no weight because it has no matter, no energy, it's weightless. Furthermore, we see that structure is a universal principle. It does not belong just to one science, but to all science and even to art. So it's a universal principle. Furthermore, we see that structure is invisible. If you look at the very slender, elegant bridge, you can't see structure per se. You only can see the concrete. But that which has made with less and less material more and more strength, that's the invisible structure. They usually call structure that it is the form when seen from within. We have seen another point, namely that structure is a new concept in science. It's the concept of science that is predominant today, adapted to our age. Every age has its method. The methods of today, of our age, is really structure, looking away from simplicity to ordered complexity. Order, order, order. These new concepts which are inherent in structure are order, arrangement, relations, organization, gestalt, wholeness. You can see all these things are immaterial principles of ordering things. So all what we will do is that we take the old bundle of data which we already knew, namely the capitalized terms, and begin to see them in different arrangements. And every time we arrange them differently, we restructure them and we get a new form. A point which I have perhaps not brought out so clearly up to now, but which is very predominant, is that structure is a concept that is common to all levels of human experience. We have structure on the level of the nuclear level, of the anorganic level, the organic level, on the level of plants and animal, of social behavior. Everywhere we have structure in human relationship, in the genetic code we have structure, in art, in conceptions, cognitive structures, in perception, in human perception we have structures, in language. You have this foremost professor at the MIT, Chomsky, who is building his whole language theory on structure. The cosmosphere, the biosphere, the psychosphere, the noosphere, everything is built on structure. So you can see structure touches every level of human investigation and existence. Structure exists on a high level of abstraction. Level demands the ability to think in an abstract way. It is a modern concept adapted to our age. Furthermore, we have seen that because structure brings forth higher structures, we have a whole hierarchy of structures. The whole chart is one big hierarchy of structure. You know what the hierarchy is? It's like a pyramid. You have on the top just a single dominant authority, and as its basis goes further down and is delegated further down, the basis becomes broader and broader and broader, just as in a big concern, in a big business, or anywhere in government, you have that hierarchical structure. Naturally, this is to be seen in an immaterial way. What have we seen further? To summarize it, we have seen that structure is self-structuring. I have said that structure brings forth structure. So that structure is self-structuring. This is one of the most beautiful experiences of my whole life over the last 40 years that I could see all through those 40 years. The moment I had touched the real meaning of the seven synonymous terms in the divine order, that they brought forth one after the other out of itself, the self-structuring of itself, bringing forth always finer, finer, more complex, more ordered structures. It's a beautiful life to live, to feel that once you have touched the fundamental structure of being, that that fundamental structure of being is the seed within itself and restructures one's consciousness, every time bringing to view a complete new revelation. We have further seen, to summarize it, that structure is dynamic, not static. And further, that though they are dynamic, that they are stable, the stability of structures, the homeostasis of structure. Then we have seen that within structure you have the laws of translatability, so that there is what they say congruence of structure from one level to the next level. That these levels of consciousness, though they appear as something very different, fundamentally they are congruent. They have a isomorphy, that they are absolutely in their form equal. Then, that there are structural laws, we'll then finally find structural elements, structural rules, structural patterns, structural syntax. When we come to the science of Christian Science, we suddenly find all that. In fact, those who are philosophizing about physics, they state something very definite. They say structure is the antithesis of matter. See, in an atomistic way, we try to explain matter as a subjective state of mortal mind. That's a very atomistic concept, and is true from the atomistic concept, and Mrs. Eddy states that. But actually, when we view it from a higher level of consciousness, we can see that matter is actually only the antithesis of structure, because structure is the immaterial principle that holds the whole universe together as one whole, as one gestalt in its unchangeability. So that in the measure you will see that you understand the chart, and therefore the structure of the chart and the laws of transformation, we hardly ask anymore what is matter. I think if I think back on the last seminars, I think we not even ever touched properly on the question what is matter. See, the question what is matter and answering it right away what matter is through saying it is the subjective state of mortal mind is actually only exchanging one isolated statement for another isolated statement. It's still thinking in that substantialistic way of metaphysics. But if we begin to see the whole structure of spiritual being, then this does away with all questions of matter. And it not even comes up in one's consciousness. Think of the difference. You know, I don't know how much you read Christian Science literature, especially perhaps when you read unauthorized Christian Science literature, or when you read, say, association papers of well-known Christian scientists like Bicknell Young, like Professor Hering, all the rest of it, the Lange and so on, they all were concerned to explain matter away just by substituting matter with another term. That's the atomistic approach. Naturally, you can do that, and that's okay. But it doesn't really reach deep down to the concept of matter.